Blog Talk Radio. little more of the program. I apologize right up front. It's very difficult for me to speak, and I do run out of breath. I've had this now for almost 3 weeks, but we're not giving up on the show. I've never given up on a show. I have gone on stage, literally, with the lead, with pneumonia. I was a sick, sick man. I don't know what I've got. I know it's not pneumonia, because if it was, I wouldn't be talking. But we're going to turn the show over. I'm still going to be on, but I'm not going to do the majority of the talking, because I just, well, can't without running out of breath, as you can probably hear. But we had a very interesting week last week. And we're only going to have another interesting week this week in football. It's only going to get harder. We thought it keeps getting harder and harder and harder and harder and harder every single week. Well, this week is going to be very, very, very difficult. So with that, I want to bring on, looks like we got Viper's number one. Viper, my good friend. Welcome aboard and happy Saturday. Can you hear me?
I sure can. I'm happy to be back this week. Sorry I missed you last week.
We made it. You were there last week. You made it. Let's bring Seth on board here, and we'll recap what we did, what happened last week. There are some stories. There are some injuries to report. And then we're going to get into this week, and there's some tough, tough games. And again, this is about the middle of the season. This is when things really start getting tough, because teams start to turn it around and some teams start to fall. We just don't know which one's going to be which. The Cowboys, I've already predicted, are going to fall. They're done. Forget about them. So, let's bring Seth. Seth, can you hear me, my good friend? Welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday, everyone. Yes. And last week we had Pub. Viper was not on the show.
Oh, you're right. That's right. I was sick last week, so get off me. Oh, man.
We'll cut you some slack.
Oh, you know, you're absolutely correct. It was the week before, but I don't know what got into me, man, what got a hold of me, but something got a hold of me and got a hold of me good, and I am stubborn, and that's Germans. We are stubborn, and we don't go to doctors until we die, and then we just want to be cured immediately with a pill and a Band-Aid and leave us alone, but that's not reality. However, last week, I want to cover some things. And Thursday night's game. See, I was doing good until I was watching Thursday night's game, and then I got it back. But Buffalo, I think Buffalo just was jet lagged. I really do believe.
I agree.
That was it. And Jacksonville was over there for 2 weeks. But I'm not taking anything away from Jacksonville. But Buffalo, I mean, yeah, you shouldn't have been jet lagged, but you were, and I don't care. You travel across that pond. I don't care how big, strong of a man you think you are. It's going to kick your butt. Trust me.
Well, especially when you're going that direction, for some reason, if I go east to west, I'm not jet lagged nearly as bad as when I go west to east, and that's what they did.
Well, it's because the time. See,
right.
you gain hours when you go east to west. When you go west to east, you lose hours.
Yep.
You can lose a whole day if you go at the wrong time. So, but one thing I want to cover and ask you guys, and I'm running out of breath here. About Thursday night's game, I have been seeing this, and even last year, I don't really believe Kansas City is that strong of a team. And yeah, Kelce is going to get his plays, even hurt, but there's more to the Kansas City Chiefs than Kelce. I see a lot of vulnerabilities. And if somebody is smart, you watch the film and you can beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They are not unbeatable. And, you know, even Denver came close. Denver's defense, I got to admit, Denver's defense did, you know, for Denver, they did actually a pretty decent job.
After getting ripped by the Dolphins, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They actually did a much better job than we have seen. They kept them to one touchdown and a slew of field goals, and then at the end, the game was pretty much over, and Denver had given up at that point, so they got a cheap touchdown. But, well, Denver's a mess. But, anyway, who has any kind of a good takeaway of something that happened last week that should be notable, besides Dallas getting murderated?
What about the Chicago Bears not only winning in Washington, winning handily?
Pretty good. What was it?
Like, I know Bears fans. And Bears fans were already giving up on Justin Fields, saying it's okay. They kind of hope the whole season tanks, and then they'll be situated with two out of maybe possibly five of the first picks next year. To now all of a sudden, what is going on in Chicago, and is this team going to be at least semi-decent like a lot of people thought? I don't know. It's one of those things, was it just 1 week, or they now got everything going?
No.
It's who they played. I mean, let's be honest. Okay, you play the right opponent on the right day, they can make you look like $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You play the wrong opponent on the wrong day, i.e. the Bills and Jaguars, they can make you look completely vulnerable. And it's amazing how, you know, we all get caught into these gambler's fallacies and these hot hand fallacies. You know, hot hand fallacy here is that Justin Fields is going to step on the field next week and face a completely different team but get the same results. I mean, it's one game. And I'm not a believer yet. I mean, I just don't think the – over the long haul, the kid is, I mean, like Jordan Love, same thing. I mean, he had two decent games to start the season, but I honestly believe Jordan Love's a backup QB. I mean, he's not Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers, but he's not bad. He's not bad, but is he a franchise-winning quarterback? I don't see it yet. I mean, I just don't. And I think Justin Fields had a great game last week. I won't take that away from him, but it was the Washington Commanders. So, yeah, I'm not buying. I'm still selling. I'm not buying yet.
No, and another team last week that's kind of on my radar now as to what is happening in your organization, and that's the New England Patriots. You have gotten outscored terribly. These are embarrassments. And the last one was at home against New Orleans, which nothing against New Orleans, but not like that type of a whooping at home. Is Mac Jones done? Is Bill Belichick done? Are the Patriots done?
Well,
I don't know
that John Kraft is open to firing Belichick if things don't turn around. But and to your point, Viper, and you're right, Viper, I cannot argue with you. You can't teach talent. However, I do have a but. And that but is that Belichick, nobody gets on the New England Patriots until Belichick gives his stamped approval. So he's had 4 years to develop a new team at post-Brady, and he hasn't been doing it. So he's picking the wrong guys, or he's lost a step, or whatever. I don't know. I don't know.
Has the game passed him by, which we've seen sometimes with older coaches, the things that were innovative 20, 30 years ago when you were coaching are no longer creative and innovative?
Well, because he got comfortable with having guys that came to work with their lunchbox and they were dedicated. He doesn't have that with this team. You can not only can you not teach talent, but you cannot teach dedication. And they don't have the same drive and the dedication that, you know, Brady and company did. And I think that is very frustrating for Belichick, because he can't keep giving out bus tickets, because if he did, there wouldn't have anybody on the team.
Right.
He used to give out bus tickets. You missed the kick, or you missed this, you missed that. Here's your bus ticket home. You're done. Well, he can't do that now.
Well,
so he wouldn't have a team.
I think I'd like to address the whole idea of, has the game passed him by? Okay, number one, the game of football, okay, has not passed Bill Belichick by. He's seen it all. He's done it all. He has adapted and changed with the times. You don't coach this long without being adaptable and without being innovative. I mean, the cerebral part of Bill Belichick, that has not passed him by. The cultural development aspect of Bill Belichick, the environment around him may have changed to the point where maybe he's not as effective as he used to be. So I think that that's a question we can ask. But has the game passed him by? I don't believe that for a second. The guy is football smart on levels that you, all of us, and everyone listening, and everyone else that might be listening to Blog Talk and any other podcast, he's smarter than all of us put together. But
we're not worried.
Can he develop the culture that he used to have? That's what I question. And is he – the thing he used to do, he was really good at 20-some years ago, was he was good at identifying undervalued players. And maybe that has taken a back seat. How do you spot a Tom Brady in the sixth round? How do you spot Teddy Bruschi, Mike Vrabel? How do you spot these players that nobody else really thinks much of, and he goes and gets them, you know, they're cheap on the dime, and all of a sudden they're Pro Bowl players. So I think that that may have passed him by a little bit, or everyone else has caught up to him, and they're just as good at it now because they learned from it. But, yeah, there's real question marks there, and I really – not to get on the Lions bandwagon again, but you look at the culture – that Dan Campbell has developed, you talk about guys all doing their job. I mean, it's almost like a Patriots model 20 years ago. Everyone's on board. Everyone's doing their job. Everyone's happy when other people are successful because it's making us successful as a team. That's what the Patriots used to be. And maybe Campbell built it a different way, but he's actually a little more old school with the style of play the Lions have than even what Belichick is. And so I think there's some question marks in talent identification. I think there's some question marks in building the Patriots way without internal leadership like a Teddy Bruschi, like a Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, I still think it is the players, they just don't seem to have you know, that whatever you want to call that X factor, the will, the drive, the dedication, maybe it is the discipline in the coaches. Again, they're not there. We don't know. But let me ask you guys this. If Belichick does lose his job this season, he's not the kind of guy that's going to fill his tackle box and go fishing. So where does he go if he wants
well,
to come back?
Too.
You know,
do we think
thing.
He goes college?
No.
I never thought about that, but that's not a bad question.
I'm just saying, what NFL team hires a 68-year-old guy to build their program?
Well, and to this aspect of that question, it's if he does go somewhere, it's either going to have to be a team that's already established that's just one step away from going to a Super Bowl, or it's going to be an organization that's a total rebuild with a bunch of new kids, and I just don't see him wanting to do that at all as a rebuild.
At 69, 70 years old, you want to start over, that's going to be – you're going to need a lot of money to get him to do that. But it's the
I've heard rumors of the Giants.
Well, that's not a bad pick. And like what I brought up, me and Brother X, we had talked about because Minnesota wants to get rid of Cousins, and they said, which you don't do that to your starting quarterback. You don't do that. Say we're not going to go with this guy next year. We're going to get rid of him. And you want him to go out there, and, you know, that was ridiculous. But if Cousins does go anywhere, I mean, he's either going to have to accept the backup position, which I don't think he wants to do, but he doesn't have a lot of places to go. And right now the Giants need somebody. They got nobody. I mean, even the Patriots, I mean, even their backup, Zappi, just seemed to have lost what he had last year. I don't know why or how, but.
Well, Zappi's a lot like Cooper Rush in Dallas. You know, there's a reason why Dak Prescott starts over him, because Dak Prescott is better. And you can manage a guy like Cooper Rush in the short term, spelling Prescott for an injury. You can make it work, but Cooper Rush is not a starting quarterback. Zappi's not a starting quarterback. I'm not sure Mac Jones is either. Don't get me wrong. I don't think Jordan Love is, because what happens is the scouting in the NFL is so good, and you get this larger and larger sample size to analyze an individual player, and that's why in the long run you see guys start out as a flash and then they fizzle out, because the NFL is smart. They eventually figure you out if you've got a flaw, and that's what's happening to Mac Jones. I believe this is going to happen to Jordan Love. It's been happening to Justin Fields. He has a good game here, and then boom, he slides for four more games.
Well, that's the same thing with Flynn. When he was with Green Bay, he had two games under his belt, and they were really, really, really good games. Seattle drafted him and traded for him. And, you know, me being a Seattle fan, we were all, okay, this is great. We got a good quarterback. Everything's going to be great. And then we get the word that they're picking this guy, Russell Wilson. Everybody's like, who the hell is Russell Wilson? And what, we had Flynn. We traded for Flynn to be the starter, and now you're going to pick this guy? Well, there's reasons why these guys are back, and you're right, Piper. Just because you have a good game or a couple of good games or even a half a good season, well, there's more to, you know, a career than just a couple of games.
You know, when we look at other quarterbacks in the past that had been in the league for years and been okay, like a Rich Gannon, and all of a sudden he found a home with the Raiders and was very successful and had some really great single season stats. You know, here we're looking at Jared Goff right now playing for the Detroit Lions, and he is putting up numbers that it's starting to boggle your mind, and you're starting to almost believe in this team, and you're like, He's actually one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and maybe he found a home. And maybe Goff is the quarterback for Detroit for the next 5 years. I don't know, but it's interesting.
Well, Goff.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. Goff still has a good 5 to 7 years. Strong years. Yeah. But
I'm still failing to see why there's such a knock on Goff. I mean, I'm still failing to see it because the guy has delivered a hell of a lot more than what he hasn't. He really has. I mean, in the
even in
that
way,
his body
he's delivered more. Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. Even in L.A., I mean, well, Fisher didn't like him. For what Fisher was an idiot.
No one likes Jeff.
Well, I mean, there's a reason why he has the worst record. But he coached for, what, almost 30 years? How? I mean, does he have pictures of these owners with little boys in cowboy suits or something? How the hell did this guy last that long in the NFL? Did he ever have a winning record?
I can speak from experience. It's a lot of who do you know, who's making a phone call for you, and not so much what you can do. A good example is Shanahan, not Kyle Shanahan, his father, Mike Shanahan. That guy was notorious for having a bad reputation. I'll even go to hockey. Okay, Mike Babcock, who, you know, he coached the Red Wings for a while. Before that, he coached the Anaheim Ducks, and he's been successful, but he just got hired at Columbus and got fired before even coaching one game because there's this old school, old boys network mentality to coaching, and there are people that get hired simply because they make a call to somebody who makes a call to somebody. Oh, yeah, you need to hire this guy. Well, and there's nothing at stake for the person making that recommendation, except they just help their buddy get a job. And it's all of coaching with that. It's the NFL included.
Well, when you've never had a winning season, and I don't think Jeff Fisher ever had one winning season, beginning in Houston.
Oh, he had to have. Wasn't he the coach on the Tennessee Titans that year?
He had a good streak with them.
But he started. Didn't he start when they were still in Houston as the Oilers? I think it was like 1 or 2 years. And then they went to the Tennessee Oilers.
You know, that was that transition. But they did go to the Super Bowl and they lost to the Rams on literally one play.
All right. Well, I'm mistaken. But I never saw Jeff Fisher really. I mean, he was so rare that.
Oh, right.
You know,
but we're talking
everybody
about the Super Bowl 25 years ago.
Well, nobody remembers the Super Bowl loser. Nobody remembers who lost the game. You only remember who won.
Yeah, that was the game where they fell short by a yard.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the stretch-out play. Remember, he stretched out and got stopped by, like, a half a yard or a yard? It was an exciting
game-winning touchdown,
That was one of the most exciting ends to a Super Bowl in a long, long time at that point.
That was Steve McNair, wasn't it? McNair QB?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, McNair. Oh, my God, I forgot about him. I haven't heard that name. Coon's age. Oh, my gosh.
He died in 2009, too. Can you believe that?
I know it.
What a bummer.
I know. Can you believe that? 14 years.
Yeah. Well, anyway, how did we do last week? I felt pretty good about last week.
Well, I didn't. I forgot to calculate it. I'm sorry. I will calculate it during the show. but I'll figure them all out. I just haven't been myself. I've been laying in bed for almost 3 weeks, and it's horrible. So I'll get that. I'll get caught up. I'm just glad to finally got a little bit of voice back, and just glad to be, you know, I'm in clothes now instead of my pajamas. So, and I even took a little walk today. So, but we are 30 minutes in, which is the time that we go. So, Seth, get your numbers ready here. And I'll figure this out as we go, and I'll get this updated. But the first game is Baltimore in Tennessee. Now, it may seem like this could be an easy peasy, but no.
In London.
Exactly.
They are in London, which makes everything a mess.
Yeah, the Baltimore Ravens are playing the Tennessee Titans, and the Titans are getting 4.5 points at home, and the over-under is 42.
Who's
The Tennessee Titans are getting 4.5 at home, and the over-under is 42.
Well, not at home, but they're the home team.
Yes, Starbucks does go to Baltimore. But you know, Baltimore really has – they've got some vulnerabilities. And Jackson, he's proven not to be that strong of a leader. He's for himself. He's always been that way.
Fool's
and
gold.
Tennessee, you gotta
be fool's gold.
Exactly. Fool's gold. And Tennessee is a team that, if you're not careful, they'll take advantage of you.
Oh,
you know,
Lamar Jackson gets my Pyrite Player of the Year. That's what he is.
Yeah.
No, but literally, people forget Tennessee was the number one AFC seeded team in the playoffs, what, 2-3 years ago? So we're not talking about a team that is totally disenfranchised and dissembled. Derrick Henry is probably towards the end of any type of prime that he's had in his career. Tannehill is still serviceable. Don't discount this Tennessee team, and don't put in too much stock that Baltimore is better than the hype that I think the regular media gives them.
Hey, they lost a dysfunctional Pittsburgh Steelers team last week.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Interception by Joey Porter. Woo, woo. Saved. I know, dude. Yeah, and Pittsburgh was not playing. Pittsburgh has not been playing good really consistently all year. So, yes, that was a huge win. And that was a game that Baltimore should have beat them if Baltimore was as good of an AFC playoff contending team as everybody else makes them out to be. And that's why the AFC North is going to be so hard to predict the actual winner, because believe it or not, you have to include the Cleveland Browns in this. Like, I can't honestly tell you who's going to win the North at all. Like, I have no idea. I mean, I'd like to say Cincinnati. I'd love to say Pittsburgh. But it could be Baltimore. It could be Cleveland. It's a crapshoot. It's up for grabs.
Holy.
And I think the AFC is so tough for the overall playoff picture, especially you're bringing in Houston Texans as possible teams or whatever, that the NFC North might have normally had two playoff teams going into this year. And one, obviously, being a wild card, I think it's just whoever wins the NFC North is going to go to the playoffs, and that's it. Everybody else, you're too close. You're 9-8s. You're 10-6s. I don't know if that passes in that final wild card spot in the AFC.
Yep, that discussion. I was going to go Baltimore, but I'm actually leaning towards Tennessee now. I think Mike Vrabel is smart. I think he knows – Mike Vrabel not only knows how to beat people, but I think he knows what he has and what he doesn't have, you know.
Right.
Cool hand Luke. A man's got to know his limitations, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going Tennessee on this. I think this is a really fun football game for the people of England to watch, but for the rest of America, not so much. I don't know. I'm still just going to go Tennessee because I just don't see Lamar pulling this out. Not watching me at four touchdowns.
No.
But.
No.
Well, here's what we did last week. I ended up with 8, Brother X 7, Seth at 6, and Viper at 9. So now the scores are Viper on the lead at 50, Brother X is at 48, I'm at 46, and Seth is in the rear with the beer at 37. And now I think you guys convinced me Brother X went Baltimore. I originally went Baltimore. I think I'm going to have to change my pick. I think I'm going to have to go. I think I'm going to have to go Tennessee.
Welcome to the dark side, Kenny.
Yeah. So both. We're all going
no, we're not the dark side. We're not the dark side, man. We're the. If you're with
the
Viper, you're with the Jedi Knights. We're on the good side here.
I'm literally aboard the Death Star right now.
What do you call that? The Force or whatever you call it? Well, all right, we're all going to go Tennessee, except for Brother X went Baltimore. He probably would have changed his pick if he was on the show, but...
He never changes his pick.
No,
except when he picks Jacksonville over Buffalo, getting hammered. God. Well, and I wanted to pick Jacksonville last week. And when I discussed it with Brother X before the show, I said, I'm picking Jacksonville. And then I changed it. I changed it during the show when you guys were talking. I was like, what an idiot. I just had a feeling Jacksonville was going to beat them. But anyway, nevertheless, this game shouldn't require too much talking. This is Carolina in the unconscious Miami Dolphins right now. Seth, what are these numbers?
The Carolina Panthers are playing the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins at home are
12.
Minus 14, which is the biggest point spread of the league.
Oh, yeah.
And the over-under is 47.5.
I was
close.
I predicted 12, 13. Real simple.
Yeah.
Dolphins win. They make over the spread.
They're going to at least cover the spread, I think.
They're going to win and cover the spread.
No, and on top of it, their only loss this season was at Buffalo. They played Buffalo tough for at least a half. Then it got a little weird. But at home, Miami just can't not score. So
look, that,
I mean,
that
I was
lost
a game, I would say take the over on this game, 47.5, because I think Miami can score that. And
well,
I believe
Carolina
still doesn't have a win.
Well, I think that I'll check on that here in a second. But I think that win of scoring 70, I think they were a little hungover, and I think that's why they lost to Buffalo. They just scored too many points, and they just ran out of points to score. But Miami is, look, this team has got an explosive offense. Tua is healthy, and Tua knows how to fall now without getting hurt. And you've got Tyreek Hill, who is in a world of his own. It's almost, the guy is, I mean, he He catches everything, and he not only catches, but he gets yards after the catch. And that is – that right there is what wins football games, not the catches.
I feel like whenever I watch him on the field, it's watching a Madden football game on EA Sports, and you're hitting the super speed button as soon as he catches the ball. It's like, goodbye.
And you're playing with somebody like me who has no idea how to play the game, and that's – yeah, exactly.
Or you're playing against the computer on novice mode, yeah.
Exactly. He's on professional and the computer's on novice, and yeah. But here's a
game that's going to take. And I'm going to tell you why the Dolphins are so explosive offensively, because Tua's got protection. See, Tua can run, but you don't want him running. That's when he gets hurt. That's when he makes bad decisions. But he's comfortable in the pocket right now. They're protecting him because the offensive line is better. And more importantly, they've got two effective running backs to keep that pass rush in check. And that's what's really helping Tua more than anything. They've got a solid running game. You can't pin your ears back and go after him because all he does is hand the ball off to Mostert or Akeem, and boom, they can bust it for 50 yards. So they've got you can't go after Tua, and that's why he's comfortable in the pocket right now.
Oh, and I think when you talk about the overall Dolphins offense, you literally talked about maybe one of the fastest teams per play recorded as a team in the history of the NFL. If you look at the 10 fastest plays by an offensive player this year, I believe 6 or 7 of them are from the Dolphins.
Right. No, like, you're right. Exactly.
Play. Boom.
6 of them are with Miami, the fastest. You run 22 miles an hour. Now look at this. A bear can run 30, and you're running 22. I mean...
And that's
wow.
With pads and everything on, equipment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you didn't have that stuff on? You might be able to keep up with the bear.
Man, you can't keep up with them. Now, this next game, this is going to... excuse me. This next game is going to require some talking. This is Indianapolis in Jacksonville, and I know you had your big win last week. Okay, fine, yada, yada, yada. But you really haven't been playing that good. But Jacksonville does that every year. They always start out a little sloppy, and then they pick it up. Well, Indianapolis is like the whatever the hell I got. It just lingers and doesn't want to go away. That team just doesn't want to go away. You can't trust that Indianapolis Colts team. I think
it's like that rash you brought home from Vegas.
Yeah, or the rash you got home from the Philippines. I've had one of those, trust me. But we're not going to cover that.
We know where we get our shots at that point.
But, I mean, Indianapolis is, you know, this is not going to be an easy win whoever wins the game. Do I see overtime in this? Yeah. Yeah, I kind of do. Brother X went Indy, but what are the numbers on this, Seth?
The Indianapolis Colts are playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars at home are giving away 4 points to the Colts, and the over-under is 44.5.
Yeah. Well, they are playing at home. But... Oh, man.
Yeah, this is a tough game because everyone has forgotten about all the things with the Colts the last 3 or 4 years that they've had dealt with, and they still have an overall pretty good team. So they're all kind of playing pretty good. They're all kind of healthy. I think didn't they just re-sign Jonathan Taylor?
I think so.
They did.
Well, they lost.
Yep, they did.
They lost to the Rams a couple of weeks ago, but I mean.
But the Rams are better than you think. And they got Cooper back, and they got that Nacua. they're throwing it. They're throwing it.
Well, that's all they got. They can only throw. I don't think they got too much of a running game.
Cooper's coming back from an injury this week for his running game. But anyways, no, in this game, I got Jacksonville. If this game was at Indianapolis, I'd probably pick Indianapolis. But I think it's going to be a hard-fought game. I think both teams know what's at stake, especially at this point in the time in the season. And this win right here will give either team a better position to go towards the playoffs as compared to the loss.
Yeah, and I think Jacksonville, this is the time of year where they realize, look, we can't be screwing around anymore. We're a better team than this. We've got to beat the Indianapolis Colts. They're supposed to win. And I think
right.
You covered this.
You're supposed to win. Yes.
Right. Which means
you lose this
very
game.
How many games have we seen where the teams are supposed to win and they don't? But maybe this is, Indianapolis might be brought down to earth on this game, but maybe Jacksonville might be brought down to earth. I'm still conflicted. Viper, what do you got?
I agree with both of you. This is a tough game to call. I think it's because if you look at the stats, these two teams are very, very much even. I mean, you would think Jacksonville
right.
has the more weapons, but they haven't really produced like I think we believe they would. The thing for me is this, okay? Without the starting quarterback for Indianapolis, Richardson's out for four games at least. Again, you roll the dice when you pick a running quarterback like that. I'm sorry you do. He's probably pretty exciting when things are working well, but if he's a China doll, he ain't going to be much good. Minshew's done a great job in relief. He's been very efficient. He hasn't hurt. He's done what he's supposed to do. Give him the chance to win. I think the thing that's kind of the difference maker for me in this game, Jacksonville is top three in the league in terms of defense against the run. And Indianapolis is going to have to run. They have to run the ball to make Minshew effective and take pressure off the passing game. And I think this is a situation where Jacksonville has a better matchup against the run against Indy. I'm going to go with Jacksonville, and that's the difference for me as far as why I'm going with them.
Yeah, that's where I was actually heading, and I'm glad you said that. You just helped me. You just convinced me. But do I, Brother X, win Indy? But do I see the possibility of Indy? And you're right, Minshew. Minshew's been doing his job. Okay, he's not gonna. He's
doing
not
pretty
gonna,
good. Yeah, he's doing pretty good.
He's not gonna light the city
on
fire. He's gonna do his job, whatever he needs to do.
Well, no, and I think with their quarterback situation that they've been dealing with the last four seasons or whatever, he made the most sense to be your number two with a rookie quarterback coming in, that he could stabilize anything. The kid does go down. He does get hurt. The kid just flat out sucks. Minshew can take your team and maybe not be the driving force to necessarily win your team games, but he might play the game good enough to not lose your team games through turnovers unnecessarily
right.
or bad decisions.
Well, now here's a monkey wrench. When Minshew came up, and he came up with Jacksonville, and he was kind of unceremoniously thrown out. But that at that time, Jacksonville was a horrible, horrible team. Jesus Christ himself could have been the quarterback, and that team still would have sucked. So he might have a little, a little grudge in him still, I don't know. But,
you can't believe how certain players – throughout their careers can remember one event. And if he can
I
use it in sports all the time for myself. I call it spite. And when you play people at us in a competitive level, do not underestimate spite.
Right, and I'm thinking to change my pick. I'm going to go to Indy on this one. See, that's what I was thinking at first. I went back and forth. I went back and forth 100 times, and now I just did it another 100 times. I don't even remember
Ted mentioned you conspiracy theorist. That was nice. You brought that about. You brought about spite. I liked it, Skeet.
Well, you know, I mean, and look, Minshew has been kind of rejuvenated. He finally got another – he's able to start when he's not supposed to. And so he's going to be milking this. He's going to be milking this opportunity. And
every single one, 100%. Yes, this is how you stay in the league as a backup quarterback. Dude, it's got to be.
But they're not going to win by much. It's going to be.
I wish I was Scott Mitchell when I was backing up Dan Marino, just holding the clipboard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whoever's going to win this game ain't winning it by much.
Mm-mm. It's going to be tough. But like, yeah, this is. Ooh,
I see
like,
overtime.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't be shocked.
No, I see OT and a field goal is what I see. Last minute something. Something's going to – the game's going to be decided in the last 2 minutes of the game. So you can – don't watch the game. Just tune in 2 minutes before it ends and you'll see the game. Like basketball. It's like it's going to be a basketball game.
Just watch an NBA game in the last 4 minutes, you get to see it all.
All right, now this next one, it shouldn't be too much discussion, but there is going to have to be a little bit. This is Minnesota in Chicago. Both teams are a hot, wet mess. They both only got one win. Chicago had one last week. Minnesota came close, and I picked Minnesota. And they came close, and they could have, but they didn't. They couldn't seal the deal. So what are the numbers on Minnesota and Chicago, Jeff?
The Minnesota Vikings are playing against the Chicago Bears. The Bears are getting 3 points at home, and the over-under is 43.5.
I mean, I went Minnesota because I think the Dick Butkus the motivation is over, and Chicago comes, you know, back to Chicago. Minnesota's still not that bad of a team. It's just I blame the ownership. They just don't care, and they're not – they just could care less about this team, so why should this team care about wanting to win? There's no motivation.
And realize that Justin Jefferson is out for 6 weeks.
I mean, and Cousins may want to start fighting for a job, so he might want to look good. And you're playing Chicago. It's not going to be difficult to look good. So you want to be on your best behavior. Put on a suit.
Yeah, but he is his number one wide receiver, who happens to be one of the top five receivers in the whole league.
Yeah, well, I don't think that matters. Chicago is just awful.
They're playing in Chicago, and they thought ahead of time, these Bears fans thought ahead of time, that they really were going to dominate Green Bay, take care of Minnesota, and just worry about Detroit. Mm-hmm. So this whole city really believes that they can beat Minnesota. I don't know. These are two organizations that I could give a rat's beep about. So on that basis, I'm just going to go with the Bears because they're at home. If it's at Scrota, I'd go with them.
Well, you know, the Bears haven't beaten Green Bay since, what, Favre's like rookie year or second year in Green Bay?
Oh yeah, that streak is bad. It's horrible.
But I don't know what the streak is against Minnesota. Again, it's a division game. But no, you're gonna go Chi-Town. Okay, I'm going Minnesota hammer down. All right, Viper. Bring us down to earth. Where do we go with this?
Viper?
Viewer? Oh, wait a minute. We lost Viper. And now we got him back. Viper, you're back on.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I accidentally hung up, so I had to call back in. So, yeah, I heard everything. The concern I have about this game, I would have gone Minnesota easily. Justin Jefferson being out makes this a bit of a concern. And I'm with Steph. I could give two rats about, you know, these two teams. I don't think. I mean, they're both 1-4 for a reason.
One of them is still only going to have one win after this week. That's what I love.
Right.
So it's a win.
You know, I see where Seth's going with the home team. I get that too. I don't know. I just think the coaching staff for Minnesota is better. I think Minnesota's got a better passing game, and you know, that's really where a lot of football games are won. Kirk Cousins is light years better than Justin Fields. The Chicago Bears defense is atrocious. The Minnesota Vikings defense is not great, but it's still pretty good. They actually have 13 sacks on the year among league leaders. I think the Vikings defense gets after Fields, gets in his head, and I think he's going to come off a little bit too arrogant beating the Commanders. I see Minnesota, who's had a much tougher record, much tougher teams that they played over the last 5 weeks. I see them winning this game because I think they're just playing at a higher level. They may have lost 4 out of 5, but they're playing at a higher level than Chicago is right now.
So I'm going to go with
the Vikings.
But let's talk about that for just one split second just before you leave or this topic. The Minnesota team last year won an exceptional amount of games by single digits. And a lot of them in the last minute. That's how they made the playoffs. That's how they get exposed by the Giants crushing them at their place. They're just not winning those games anymore. Why? You don't have Dalvin Cook as your running back. You got rid
of Adam Thielen. You don't have Adam Thielen to offset the attention of Jefferson.
Right, and now you heard Justin Jefferson because you've been overcompensating. Because you don't have Dalvin Cook, period.
Boy, and you don't have Adam Thielen, who was the balance of Justin Jefferson. I mean, there's key pieces not on Minnesota anymore. That's the difference between winning and losing close games. And, you know, they've lost those key pieces. You guys said beginning of the game, Kansas City's not the same team. You know, you have Kelce, you have Mahomes. They're always going to be those two people, but there's a whole complement of wide receivers that aren't catching the ball around them. So, it's not the same team. Every year changes, and this year they're missing the couple of pieces they need to win those close games. I'm still going with Minnesota, but you're right. I think it's a good observation.
Yeah, I got to go Minnesota. I just think. I don't know. Chicago's a mess, and I think they're done. They're looking for draft picks. They're looking for draft picks, and I think Minnesota.
The Bears
for draft
defense,
picks.
Yeah,
but I think.
No, that's why that win against Washington. I think Justin Fields knows he's fighting for his job.
Yeah,
because Justin Fields doesn't work in the NFL. That's how Justin Fields is going to go.
No. No,
it's all or
nothing. Chicago's going to happen. Yeah. But in any event, now we go to this one. This one may, it's not difficult for me, but it may be difficult for some people because a lot of people are drinking the Houston Kool-Aid. I'm not. I'm not drinking. I've been bitten by that bug too many times over the years. I'm not biting. I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid no more. And New Orleans, this is New Orleans in Houston. So what are the numbers on this?
The New Orleans Aints are playing against the Houston Texans. The Texans at home are getting 1.5 points, and the over-under is 42.5.
You kind of broke up. What was the point for you? You broke up.
Houston is getting 1.5 points at home, and the over-under is 42.5.
Yeah. To me, it's I just have no faith in Houston at all. I do have a little bit in New Orleans, and New Orleans is beating the teams that they're supposed to, and they're not playing a lot of – and the teams that they are playing that are – you know, good teams are losing, which is
you're
supposed to.
I mean, like last week, though, if you're thinking, oh, this New Orleans team, going into New England and winning by whatever they did, like that to me, I was like, hey, maybe Derek Carr has found a new home. He's got weapons there. New Orleans has always had some great running backs, great wide receivers. Interesting.
Yeah, I just don't have any faith in Houston yet. I know Stroud is, you know, everybody's slobbering all over this guy. I'm not ready to slobber yet. It's going to take a while. But I think New Orleans, and I think they beat the spread. I don't know if I can go a touchdown, but I go at least a field goal. I go at least 3. So I think New Orleans beats the spread. All right, Seth, who do you got on this?
Well, I'm slobbering. I'm going Houston. And
there
the thing is, if they lose by a lot, okay, now I'm going to have to rethink everything about Houston this season. That's fine. If New Orleans wins by a lot, I'm also going to have to reconfigure New Orleans because, hey, I think you're going to different places on the road and you're slaughtering people. You might be a for real team that no one's looking or seeing. And then by week 8 or something, you're 6-2 or 5-3 or like, and in the NFC, that can carry a lot of weight.
All right, before we bring Lou on, what's your who do you got, Viper?
You know, Houston's been a little bit of a mystery. I mean, I'm kind of torn on this game. I'm not buying Houston yet. I mean, I'm with you. And the Saints have been surprisingly consistent. Now, Derek Carr hasn't lit up pinball machine like maybe some people expected, but he's been extremely efficient. Hasn't thrown an INT in 3 games. I just think that the Saints, they're able to win ugly, and this game isn't going to be pretty, you know, and that kind of fits the Saints' MO this year. They can win games that are ugly and close, and they can do the right thing at the right time. I think that's what's going to happen in this game. I'm going to go with the Aints.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, let's find out what Lou from New Jersey says. Lou, my good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday. Who gets the win, New Orleans or Houston?
Let's put it this way. Houston, you got a problem. I'm going with the Saints. I'm not sold on the Texans right now at all.
Well, there's a lot of people that are you know, they're really, you know, they're really trying to push Houston. Of course, that's the NFL. They see one guy gets drafted and they just gotta, you know, turn him into, you know, Hall of Fame. And no, you got a whole career to go. Calm down. Well, now this next game, now this one, this is actually kind of a very difficult game. And again, this is that time of year where the games are, you just don't know who's going to pick it up, who's going to lose it, who's going to do what. This is Seattle in Houston. I know Seattle is in Cincinnati. I know Cincinnati's favored a little bit. But anyway, Seth, give us those numbers. Seattle in Cincy.
The Seattle Seahawks are playing against the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are favored at home by 3 points. So they're giving those to Seattle. And the over-under is 45.
Yeah, see, here's what's conflicting me. We don't know when Cincinnati is going to turn around and start playing Cincinnati football. Seattle is Seattle. Yeah. And if you've been in Seattle, you know they can drop trow at any given moment. I'm telling you, this team can do it.
Are you speaking of your ilk?
But Seattle has a lot of weapons on that team. The problem is I'm not a Geno Smith guy, and here's the problem. Our backup, Locke, is out. So if Geno goes down, it's going to be the peanut vendor to come in. So Seattle has to play. I mean, they have got to play, but, you know, I don't have a lot of faith in Cincinnati. They have had opportunity after opportunity this year to turn it around. And they're really not. Even the games that they won, they did not win, you know, explosively, overwhelmingly, where you said, okay, this Cincinnati's back. You were like, okay, Cincinnati, they sneaked in a win. So I got to go with the home. I'm going to have to be a homer.
No, but, Ski, I actually have a question for you, Ski. I have a question for you. You know Seattle's defense probably better than anybody on this panel right now. Joe Burrow is playing hurt. He's not 100%. And we're really never going to have an accurate number of where he's at, where he was.
He's
is he progressing? So what I'm saying is this is a slightly hurt Joe Burrow. I don't know. No, the guy deals with a lot of pain, so – but anyways, what my question to you is, can this Seattle defense get to him enough that as its own could be a factor in this game?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. That Witherspoon, that guy is an absolute maniac. He's everywhere. He is worse than Palomalo. He is near the ball on every play, and he's going to be all over Burrow. Witherspoon alone is Seattle's defense, and he's a rookie. And he came in a game of week three, because he was hurt. And, I mean, this guy is just, he's unbelievable. He's playing at a whole
So what you're saying is basically you do think if Joe Burrow was 100% healthy, you don't attack him to a certain percentage because he'll burn you. But a hurt Joe Burrow, you attack him more than normal.
Oh.
Something good's got to happen, right?
Oh, no. You attack, man. I mean,
yeah, I think I'm going Seattle on this, just talking about this.
No, I mean, I know you're playing in Cincinnati, and Cincinnati likes to play good at home. Okay, well, a lot of people do. But, and Burrow, you're right. He's hurt. He was hurt last year. He hasn't healed yet. And the team, I don't know what's going on with the rest of the team, but I don't know. But
oh no, and when you talk about the Seattle team, you talk about them going into Detroit, and when people say, "Oh, well, they beat Detroit in overtime. The Lions should have won the game." I'm like, Seattle missed two field goals in regular time. The game should have went to. Seattle is a better team than people are giving them credit for. They're kind of under the radar right now, but I think you get a win in Cincinnati, people are not going to have you under the radar anymore.
Well, I'm telling you right now that Witherspoon alone, man, he is the key to Seattle's defense. The guy is everywhere. He's a cornerback, and the guy is everywhere. He's sacking. He's doing everything. He's like on, I don't know. I mean.
No, I mean, just,
I mean, he's just
everywhere. I saw T.J. Watt finally come back. I'm like, oh, I forgot what this was like.
Guy's just bouncing around like a fly. You know how flies are always flying around the room and you can't swat the son of a bitch? That's him.
Mm-hmm.
You can't swat him. He's everywhere. You give that guy a ball. You put him as like a running back or even a receiver. Forget about it. But, all right, Viper, who do we got on this? Seattle or still in love with Burrow?
This is a tough game to pick. I mean, I haven't been buying the Bengals, and rightfully so. I mean, I think I haven't missed on them yet this year. The games where I worried about their performance, I went against them and it worked. And then the games where I thought they would rebound, it worked. This was a tough one to predict. Although Burrow is hurt, I do think he's starting to get back on track. He's extremely competitive.
Yeah.
I agree with everything you said about Witherspoon. I think Witherspoon was the number one target in the draft for the Detroit Lions, because as soon as Seattle took him off the board, that's when the Lions made all their moves. And it hasn't exactly panned out poorly for the Lions, but Witherspoon was that good. And I really think that he is the anchor of that defense for years to come. But in this particular game, I really believe being at home, I believe Burrow is really competitive. He knows the way they started the season that they have a long road to get back to the playoffs. He can't afford to take a game off. And although I don't like the fact that Seattle's really good against the run, which is going to neutralize Joe Mixon a little bit, I just think that for some reason my gut tells me that Cincinnati is going to put it together. And I think it's because they're desperate and they're at home. They know they're a playoff team. They know how tough the AFC is. They have to keep pace with them somehow. And I think somehow they're going to put it together and win this game. I can't really say why.
Well, Viper, do you think that Cincinnati, knowing that Seattle was a playoff team in the NFC last year, possibly could be again this year, and they know this brings them back to 500 in a tough AFC, are they looking at this game like this is a playoff game, right?
Yeah.
Like that
essentially.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is a must win for Cincinnati. If they lose this game.
I totally agree. Totally agree.
Yeah, they might make the AFC playoffs.
Right.
No, they won't.
I think that sense of urgency and at home, I think, is a combination, and the fact that Joe Burrow is really competitive. I think he puts it on the back, and he pulls this one out somehow.
Well, that division right now, I mean, Pittsburgh and Baltimore are 3-2. How that's even possible, I don't know. But Cleveland and Cincy are 2-3. I think this division is still open for grabs. And Cincinnati could turn it around There's still plenty of football. They could turn it around and take it. But, Lou, where are you on this? Seattle or Cincy?
No, I got to go with the Seahawks. Bengals are taking a nosedive. Look, embarrassing.
I do believe, though, and I do believe Burrow is going to – Burrow fights. So he's going to do everything he can, but it's going to take – you know, but I just see Witherspoon sacking him. I see Witherspoon intercepting him. I just see a lot of bad things coming to Cincinnati. WKRP all over again.
And the thing is with Seattle's offense, you talk about you've got Lockett and Metcalf is two wide receivers.
Metcalf is back. He was hurt, but he's back. So they're all playing.
Unbelievable. And then you got Kenny Walker the third as a running back.
Mm. Love him. No, I mean, the only problem with Seattle's offense is Geno. He's not a leader. He's just going to do
Brent Dilfer. He's just trying not to make the turnovers and get you a Super Bowl win, and everybody else is doing their job.
Yeah, everybody else is doing the job, and you're right. Yeah.
No,
so,
and Geno
right,
Well,
this next game is a total no-brainer, even if Watson wasn't out, but Watson is out. And it doesn't really matter. This is San Francisco, who, again, is on a completely different level than the rest of the league. God, I'm praying that they stay healthy. And if they do stay healthy, could we see an undefeated team? I'm not saying we can't. I can't say we can because it's very difficult. But I can't say we can't.
Actually, technically, Brock Purdy – as a starting quarterback, if he started the game and completed the whole game, didn't come back in, then he is undefeated as a quarterback. He's never lost.
He only lost one game, and that was the title game, but he was injured, and then he had to come back where he couldn't even throw. He could barely even pass the ball off, and everybody else was injured. McCarthy, we had Bosa was injured.
They were going to have to play like a kicker as like their quarterback or something.
Everybody was injured. The coaches were injured. The cheerleaders were injured. The fans were injured.
I was emotionally injured.
I don't know if we need too much discussion on this one. What are the numbers just for grins?
The San Francisco 49ers are playing the Cleveland Browns. The Browns at home are getting 9.5 points, and the over-under is 36.
9.5? Why is that not double digits? Wow.
I think it's because the Cleveland defense is still pretty good. I mean, I'm not saying they're good enough to win the game, but that defense for Cleveland is nothing to shake a stick at, man.
No joke.
No, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's probably why. But I think Frisco comes at least. Very
is anybody
close.
Picking Cleveland is how we should rephrase this.
Right.
No.
Lou, are you brave enough to pick Cleveland?
Not even Brother X.
No.
Not even Lou.
Brother X. With all the beer in the world, Brother X couldn't even pick this one. Now watch Cleveland come out and beat them. If that happens.
I know.
That's the NFL, man.
I know. Man. Welcome to the NFL. All right, now we got another kind of a good game to talk about. I'm very impressed with Atlanta. They're achieving more than I expected. I'm not the expert, but I did not expect Atlanta to do as good as they're doing, and they're doing their job. They're out there trying. They're not giving up, and they're playing the best that they can play, and that's all you can ask for. This is Washington in Atlanta. Seth, what are
the Washington football team is playing against the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are giving away 2.5 points, and the over-under is 42.5.
I think it's going to be a hard-fought football game. I got to give the edge to Atlanta on this. The 2.5 points, I think, is right. Washington will huff and puff. So will Atlanta. I think we're going to come down to the of the game, and we'll see who's got the medal to finish it. You're going to have to play all 60 minutes if you want to win this game. So
that's right.
So Seth, who do you got?
This game is one of those times that you're like, hey, both these teams could kind of maybe still do something in the NFC. They're both kind of fraud, in my opinion. I would only take Atlanta because they're at home. So I'm
that
going with the Falcons, the Dirty Birds, but not confident in this at all. I can totally see Washington win this, but I think it's close. I think it's all within 7 points, one way or the other.
Yeah, again, it's what team plays the full 60 minutes. You play 59 mm-hmm. minutes and 59 seconds. That's not 60
count.
Minutes.
It doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't cut it.
So, all right, Viper, your old alma mater. You gonna go with them?
I wouldn't call them that.
I know. You just lived there. So.
ATL.
Yeah, exactly. I lived in New Jersey too. Doesn't mean the Jets are my alma mater. But anyway,
sorry, Lou. Okay.
No offense, Lou. I'm with Seth on this one. I'm going Dirty Birds, and I think at home is a factor. I think the way they play, they tend to grind out the clock. Sam Howell has done a great job for the Commanders, I think, and he's doing a lot better than I thought he would. He's really adapting well. I think he is probably the answer quarterback for them. But he's taken more sacks than anyone in the league right now.
Even over
so
Daniel.
He's getting beat up. What was that?
Even over Daniel Jones?
Yes, he's taking the most sacks in the league right now.
Those are some bad numbers because I know Danny's.
Well, part of it's O-line. Part of it's O-line. O-line is part of it, and then the other part is his decision-making isn't the fastest. But I definitely think that, you know, the Commanders come off a thrashing from a very, very mediocre Bears team is pretty telltale. I see Atlanta grinding the clock. And believe it or not, I haven't said this in 5 years. I think the Atlanta defense makes a difference in this game. I mean, believe it or not, I think they've really playing really well together. And, yeah, I'm going Dirty Birds. I'm with Seth.
All right, Lou. It's up to you.
Dirty Birds.
Dirty Birds. Okay, we're all going the Birds. All right, this next game. Now, Belichick had a bad week. He did another one of his press conferences where he was back to normal and he says, we're going to change. We're going to do things. So does he really mean it? And what can he change? I mean, other than changing his quarterback, which it didn't matter last week. Of course, the game was already lost before he put Zappe in. So it didn't really matter. But does New England, are they going to go completely defeated again? This is New England in Las Vegas. And Las Vegas really isn't doing what everybody wanted them to do. And they haven't done what everybody wanted them to do since they moved to Las Vegas. Everybody had their high hopes. We were drinking the silver and black Kool-Aid, and we just weren't getting high. It was like, you know, there was nothing in it. We were, you know. So what are the numbers on this? New England in Las Vegas.
The New England Patriots are playing against the Las Vegas Raiders. And the Raiders are giving away 3 points to the Patriots, and the over-under is 41.5, which is a pretty low number.
Well, you know, Viper, is this the week where New England says, I'm done, we're going to win? I know they're playing in Vegas. I don't know if that really matters or not, but, I mean, is this the week New England finally gets a win? A real win.
Well, I mean, I think the anatomy of an upset is there. You know, if anyone knows Garoppolo, it's Bill Belichick. If anyone knows the Josh McDaniels playbook, it's probably Bill Belichick.
This hurts.
I just don't know. I mean, it's so tough.
I've been taking the bait, and you have been convincing me week after week after week after week, and I've been taking that New England bait, and now that I'm not going to take the bait, now they're going to win. So, but I can't take that bait anymore until they prove to me. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. And that's where I'm at. You know, the anatomy of the upset is there, but you got to score points, man. And the offense with Mac Jones is not scoring points. They're just not. And I think Belichick could probably stop McDaniels and Garoppolo, but who's going to get in points? You can put up a goose egg over on the other side all you want, but if you got a goose egg on your own side, it doesn't mean a bit of difference.
And I'm asking you this, Viper. As the New England defense, who's going to stop Josh Jacobs? Because no one is. So it doesn't even matter what Garoppolo does. The Raiders are probably just going to win by the running game alone.
Yeah, they're going to get enough points to win this game. The New England offense is just anemic. And I think Belichick can stop Garoppolo and McDaniels, but I don't think Belichick can score against the Raiders' defense. I mean, Max Crosby is going to be up in Mac Jones' face all the time.
This is a field day, dude. I'm calling five
I'm going Raiders this time.
Wait a minute. I think Crosby, did I see that? Let me see. I think Crosby might be out or questionable.
He'll play.
He's playing. That guy hasn't missed a game in forever. He's playing.
Yeah, they're just playing New England Patriot games against the Patriots. Oh, yeah, we're not going to play Crosby.
Oh, it wasn't Crosby. I screwed up. No, he's playing.
It is.
All right, Lou. You brave enough to go New England?
Nope.
Yeah.
No way.
Smart. And again, now watch New England win. Watch it. We're going to see some upsets this week. We just don't know who is going to upset.
Okay.
I don't have to pick New England this week, though. And
right.
Could I see New England beating?
Well, because we're Raiders fans, of course we can see this. But no, this should be our time. And our team's not that good. Garoppolo sucks.
No, the Raiders are not good. No. They're not.
He sucks. He's horrible. Yeah, you were doing an even slide, getting rid of the car, bringing in Garoppolo, and I knew that was just a Jones out. At least Carr liked being silver and black.
Well, I think that's just a gap filler until they figure out what the hell they're going to do next. That was just a
they didn't want to pay Carr the money he was asking. They didn't want to pay Carr the money. And that's okay.
No,
I get that.
Carr didn't deserve it. And so because Carr was one of the best quarterbacks in a long time, and he got that first leg injury, and he was never the same ever. He be competitive? Could he get you to maybe the playoffs? Sure. But that was it, dude.
Yeah. Well, all right. Now we've got another division game. And in the NFC West, this is a very bizarre division. You never, ever know. Forget about the stats. Forget about the numbers. Forget about the odds. You never know what the hell is going to happen when two teams in this division play each other. This is Arizona. In Los Angeles Rams. Now, I know, Don, you know, in Arizona, you're huffing and puffing, but you still talk. Rams are still, a team. Cup back. They're playing at home. Cup's first day back home, and they're playing against Arizona. I mean, I can't pick Arizona, and I'm not. But what are the numbers on this?
The Arizona Cardinals, AZ, playing the Los Angeles Rams at home. The Rams are given AZ 7 points, and the over-under is 48.5.
We're going to see a good game. This division never disappoints. They just don't disappoint. You're going to see some football, but I do overall, though. I do believe the Rams are better. So, Viper, where are you on this one?
I think the Rams are improving. Getting Cooper Kupp back has really helped Stafford. They've got a decent running game. Got a great tight end. I mean, I just think a lot of the pieces are starting to fall back together for the Rams. Aaron Donald seems to be the Aaron Donald of old, really leading that defense again. Do I think they're Super Bowl ready? No, I don't think that. But they're definitely improving. They're definitely getting back to their old self, if you want to say that. And they're still missing some pieces, but I think they just outman. I think they outgun the Arizona team this week. I mean, Cooper Kupp and Stafford alone can win this game. They don't even need anyone else. So, no, I'm going Rams all the way.
Man, Seth, you're going Rams, right?
Their offense is now almost 100% complete. They're going to start outscoring teams like you haven't seen. So,
yeah.
Rams.
And Lou, how about you, my friend?
Rams.
Yeah, I do believe that the Rams are picking it up in Seattle. Be careful, because they're only one game above the Rams. So if Seattle loses another game, they're going to be tied. So Seattle had better not screw around. If they want to get a wild card, you're not going to win that division. San Francisco already has that division. They've got it.
Oh, no, that's a clear cut. There is no way you can look at it. And there's only way they don't win this division, Purdy gets hurt. That's it.
He's got to be run over by a bus,
and
up by a bomb.
I'm not even sure that would do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a lot.
That's a scary thing. Right. Is it just a product of a system? But you do have to say the guy's never lost. So at this point.
Yeah. Well, it's just going to be injuries. It's going to be the only thing that's going to keep San Francisco from taking that. Well, it's going to be the only thing that's going to take them away from winning the Super Bowl, to be honest. I mean, they are the strongest team in the NFL right now. I mean, the names alone, McCarthy, Purdy, Tebow, I mean,
yeah.
Bosa. I mean, I mean, that five.
Yeah, I mean, here's
guys right
yeah.
There. Yeah, those are five
we'll
guys
get,
right
we'll
there.
Get to them.
Well, anyway, this next game, this is going to be a fun game. And I don't think it's going to be an easy win for whoever wins. It's going to be a very fun, enjoyable football game. This is Detroit Lions in Tampa Bay. What are the numbers, Seth?
The Detroit Lions are playing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and are getting 3 points, and the over-under is 42.5.
See, yeah, Vegas is saying the same thing. This is going to be a good thing. Detroit, yeah, you're playing real strong. Well, Tampa is overachieving, and I think the team is playing on some luck, and they don't care. They're out there doing their job. They don't care what the record is. They're not looking at any numbers. They're just coming out and saying, hey, we're here. We're going to play, and we're going to give 100%. And whatever the outcome is the outcome. I got to go to Detroit because I'm drinking that Lion Kool-Aid, man, until that train crashed into the...
The ironic thing is Detroit didn't have a road win for over 2 years in recent history. And to now see them on the road being favored over a hometown team is mind-boggling. Like
a 3-1 team too. That's shocking.
Right. Yeah. So this is not even a losing horrible team. This is a really good competitive team. I've never seen this ever, unless maybe Barry Sanders was on that team. Literally, ever.
Well, they're playing with, it's different than we've seen other Detroit teams where they started to do good. I think this one's real. It feels real. It doesn't feel like, okay, yeah, they're doing good, but we know they're going to take a dump. This one feels
right.
And I think Detroit is going to get their first playoff win in, what, 30-some years. And that's really all that the Lions fans want. They don't need a Super Bowl right now. They just want one playoff win. That's it. That's all they need. And their season will be complete.
It will.
So,
yeah, 100%.
We haven't gone to Lou first. So, Lou, break us down on this game. What do you got on this? What do you see in this game?
This is Cooley with the Lions, okay?
Yep. Well, what do you see on this game, Lou? How do you see it?
Lions had been an improved team the last year and 2 years, and you know they're showing why they're making a run in the division. So I gotta go with them. This is not the same Lions that we once knew. They used to be pathetic. They told us we're going out. This is not your father's Lions team.
Could I see Tampa Bay upsetting them? Well, yeah. This is the NFL. But, so, Seth, you've got to be going Detroit, right?
No,
he's going
Tampax. I'm going Tampax on that.
He's going Tampa Bay.
Oh, no. What are you doing?
He doesn't want to believe. He doesn't want to believe.
No, I can already see. No, Everybody's looking at all these records.
You're going to get a lightning bolt, man.
All of a sudden,
God's going to strike you
now
down.
Now, you lost to Seattle. You lost to Tampa in the NFC wild card race. You don't even win your division somehow. Yeah, this will bite you in the butt. I can see this happening. I got Tampa.
Oh, man. I can't believe you're doing that to Detroit.
Very easily.
But Viper, though, does Seth have a point? I think he does. Could I see this Tampa Bay beating them? Yeah. But, I mean, I got to ride, like I said, I'm going to ride that Detroit train. So, I mean, where are we, Viper?
Oh, I'm going to tell you, this game was a tough one. I actually dove into the stats a little bit more. There's two things that worry me for the Detroit Lions in this game. Number one, Tampa's coming off a bye week, so they've got a lot of rested players. They've got a lot of time to watch film. Number two, the injury list is not really favorable for Detroit right now. I think they're questionable on one offensive line starter. I'm pretty sure he's going to play, but they called up a backup just in case. They're down possibly the future defensive player of the year in Brian Branch. Defensive rookie of the year, I should say. The tight end, Sam Laporta, who's leading all the tight ends in the league right now as a rookie, he's questionable with a calf injury. Jahmyr Gibbs, lightning in a bottle, he's out for this game.
He's out.
It's concerning. It's concerning right now. Tampa's going creamsicle outfits. We all remember these. So they're going old school outfits. But here's the deal.
And the worst outfits in NFL history or sports history.
Yeah, no kidding. That might be the psychological balance for the Lions. But
right.
Here's why I think I'm going with Detroit. If they're healthy, they win this game outright. If this isn't a bye week, they win this game all day long. But the thing that speaks to me, Baker Mayfield, he is an effective quarterback when he is a play-action quarterback. The Lions' run defense has been absolutely devastating this year. Nobody is running the ball on the Detroit Lions anymore. The line of scrimmage control they have is absolutely off the charts compared to what they used to be. They also control the line of scrimmage on the offensive side of the ball. They get Amon-Ra St. Brown back this week. If Laporta plays, David Montgomery runs the ball the way he has. Lions haven't had a back-to-back 100-yard rusher since 2014. He did it the last two games. The way they're playing is not the way the Tampa Bay wants to play. And I think that's going to be the difference. I think the Lions are playing another level. I think they get into Baker Mayfield's face. I think they stop the running game, which means they force him to make decisions out of the pocket. That's where he failed in Cleveland. The Lions are going to win this one close, but it ain't going to be an easy win. They're going to have to gut this one out. But I think it's not going to be an easy win, but I think they do pull it out because they are used to playing these games all year long. They're able to do it. So I'm going Lions.
Yeah, we got 15 minutes to get three picks in. I think we can do it. No, you are absolutely correct. I think we are going. This could be a game of the week. If you like football, you don't have to like the Lions or the Bucks. But this is going to be game of the week as far as actual football. This is going to be a good game. We could be a shootout. I mean, we could be seeing what is over under on this, Seth?
42.
Tampa Bay is getting 3 points at home, and the over under is 42.5.
I go over on this.
I would too.
Absolutely.
Well, could I see it like a 13-10 game? I could see that too, but No, some people are going to get their scores, dude. There's too many weapons on both sides.
Right. And, we might see 42 apiece is what we might see. That's a little bit of an exaggeration. But anyway, the next game, this one should be relatively easy. This is Philadelphia against the Jets. I hate Philadelphia. I hate having to pick this team. I hate it.
No. The Philadelphia Eagles are playing against the New York Jets. The Jets are at home getting 6.5. The over-under is 41. And I'm taking Philly all day long.
Well, you just, and I read the numbers before, and 6.5, what you're telling me is there's a chance. Now, Lou, you are Mr. Jets. You are J-E-T-S-S-S-S, Jets. Now, can you see your team beating Philly? I can see it. I don't know if I have enough.
I don't know if I can because, Philly's offense is very strong, and it kind of worries me. We were lucky to get past Denver, Washington, but, we're going up against, an Eagle country. And they look like a dangerous team, so I unfortunately have to go with the Eagles.
It just pains me to have to pick this team. But, the Jets, even Wilson is awful, the Jets really are not that bad of a team. I just don't think they got enough. I can't do it.
Well, the Jets overall are a really good team, but you also have to say the guy that you kind of want to be your starter only because the guy that you brought in got hurt you got confidence in you now. Yeah, that's doomed for destruction from the beginning. How was that going to work out? Oh, hey, Zach. It'll be all right.
All right, Piper, let me ask you this. If you were to, you're a salesman, and you're going door to door, and you're trying to sell somebody on the Jets are going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles, and if you don't make this sale, you're going to lose your job. What do you tell this person to pick the Jets? How does the Jets beat Philadelphia?
Well, I think the Jets. I think the Jets defense is the one that is the side of the ball that makes this competitive. Philadelphia is putting up gaudy offensive numbers, but I honestly think the Jets defense is very, very legitimate. They're just really tough on the defensive side of the ball, and they can turn this into a tight game that grinds it out. They can run the ball well with Cook and Breece Hall. They can control the clock. They can take pressure off Wilson, who is getting better. He is clearly improving. Sauce Gardner can blanket A.J. Brown and take him out of the game. He's been one of the hottest receivers in the league. So you got Sauce Gardner neutralizing A.J. Brown. You've got a Jets defensive line that puts pressure on the quarterback, and they're fast enough and athletic enough to control Jalen Hurts running. And then you got a team off offensive side of the ball that can grind out the clock. The Jets can win this game. They really can, as long as Wilson is efficient and doesn't turn the ball over.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. I'm tempted to pick the Jets, and I'm not even a Jets fan.
I just did.
Thank you, Lou. Thank you for taking the sword.
No, that was me.
Oh.
No, I was looking for something to pick the Jets. I was looking for that reason, and you sold me. I was looking to be sold. I was the guy. I was. You knocked on my door, and I was looking to buy, and you sold me. And I hate the Eagles, so it doesn't hurt me, and it doesn't hurt me a bit. But I understand what you're saying, Viper, and you're absolutely correct. Wilson is slowly but surely improving. And again, the Jets team is not, I think they're a little bit better than their record, but they deserve their record because they did lose.
Yeah.
And they lost Fansware. But,
you know, I rarely do this. So you and Brother X and Steph can take this charity gift. I'm going to go with the New York Jets. I got a funny feeling about this game. I think they are a heck of a lot more urgent about a win. And I think Philadelphia's on cruise control. I think they know they've got it wrapped up. They're not going to come out as hungry. I'm going to go on the limb, and I'm going to go with the Jets, believe it or not.
Yep.
You're right.
I'm with you, Viper. I'm with you. Absolutely. No, well, anyway, I don't think this is going to be a very easy win for Philly. I don't see them blowing the Jets out.
No.
I do not see that.
No.
No.
And every game, there's a game every week that fools us. I think this is it.
No. It's going to be brutal. It's going to probably be like a 4-5 point swing one way or the other. Someone had a touchdown. Someone kicked field goals instead of touchdowns. It bit them in the butt at the end.
Well, hey, look, the Jets are coming off that horrible loss to Kansas City, which, in my opinion, they beat them. They beat them. They beat Kansas City. So I think this week they're going to be like, we're not going to let that slip away from us again. And yeah, Jets are going to fight. They're not going to give up. That's not going to happen. So we're going to see a really good football game with that. Okay, now the Sunday night game. You got 7 minutes to do two picks. This is New York Giants at Buffalo. Okay, who is stupid enough to pick the Giants? Raise your hand. What are the numbers on it just to make it legal?
The Giants are playing against the Buffalo Bills, the Beef. Minus 15. That is the highest point spread. And it's 44. I thought minus 14 was. I didn't really realize it was a minus 15. Yeah, I'm Beef all day, not even thinking about it.
How do you think about this? I wouldn't even want to ask the question of how Giants could beat Buffalo. Unless you can't. It won't. It's done. So, all right, let's go to the Monday night.
Play according to COVID protocol. Could that be an option?
No.
Because that's
The stadium's going to have to catch on fire. People are going to have – I mean, it's just not going to happen. Lightning bolts. God's going to have to bring in a flood. No. Well, I do like this Monday night game. And I've already went hammer down as soon as I saw it. This is Dallas in – Los Angeles Chargers, and I have zero faith in the Cowboys at all. I'm going hammered down. Los Angeles Chargers. Seth, what are the numbers on this?
The Dallas Cowboys are playing against the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers at home are getting 2.5 points. And the over-under is 51, so you know this is a shootout.
Well, I'm not going by that devastating loss against San Francisco, but I am. Now, San Francisco was going to beat them regardless. It is how they beat them, and every time they showed Dak and everybody, all the other Cowboys, they were completely demoralized. I mean, they were Dak looked completely lost, like he didn't know his own name. They looked completely out of place. They did not belong. They, you know, the Cowboys are just not that good of a football team. And stop trying to pump up Dak. Okay, he's athletic, he's good, but he's not going to bring that team.
They got exposed losing to the Cardinals the way they did. And I know it's a divisional game, but the Cardinals really exposed who this Cowboys team is. You can have all the high paid players, this, that. Dude, they're not that good.
Well, we've got all of these ex-players are coming out saying Dak sucks. I mean, they're not even being diplomatic. They're saying he sucks. They're not screwing around. And I don't think he sucks. I think he's just not the leader that Jerry Jones wants him to be, and all the pundits are making him out to be. Go ahead, Lou.
I think the word I would use for him is limited. He's more limited than I think people care to admit.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
No, the sad thing is your organization can have money vested just like Kirk Cousins, and this guy can get you to the playoffs, however that may be, got you to the playoffs, and then you can't do anything past that point. That is also Dak Prescott.
Sounds like Tony Romo, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
No, but hey, man, he got us to the playoffs.
But you've also got the Chargers, who are a much better team than their record says, but they just can't seal the deal. But I think they're going to seal it at home. Lou, real quick, we got 2 minutes. Lou, who are you going with this?
You mean for the money I gave?
Yeah, Dallas against Chargers.
I gotta go with my Cowboys.
There you go. Okay, Seth, who do you got?
I got Justin Herbert and the Chargers.
There you go. All right, Viper, you going to go against the grain here and go with Lou?
No, I am going with the Bolts. I think the fact they're at home and Dallas does not play well on the West Coast.
Yep. Well, I think we're going to see a really good football game. And I really, really, really hope that Dak Prescott does not have a good game and Herbert doesn't
speak up. Bolts coming off a bye week. Bolts coming off a bye week. That's just another factor.
There you go. So, all right, we got about 15 seconds left. Thank you, Lou. Thank you, Viper. I made it. I only coughed once, but I muted myself so nobody heard it. Hopefully I'm getting through this. And everybody enjoy the football tomorrow. We're going to see a lot of great games tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be an exciting, exciting week, and it's only going to get more. So thank you, Viper. Thank you, Seth, as always, and we'll see you back here next week, Saturday at 6 p.m. Goodbye, everybody.
Good night.